podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Network's 200 stations strong all over the U.S. of A. on Saturday, March 28th, 2020. This is episode 1,681. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcasts are brought to you from TWiT's LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure they are by making access and authentication seamless. Visit LastPass.com/TWiT to learn more. This episode of The Tech Guy is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy with one click. It's that easy. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to ExpressVPN.com/Tech Guy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. America held hostage, day 13. Hello, everybody. 8888 Ask Leo is my phone number. You can call me. It's safe. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside the U.S. or Canada, you can still reach us. You just have to use Skype out or something like that. 8888 Ask Leo. The website is techguylabs.com. I mentioned that because I know as you listen to the show, sometimes you go, oh, I should remember that, or you want to write something down, or maybe you're thinking, hey, that's wrong. Leo, what about this? All of those things you can do at the website free, no sign up. Just go right there, techguylabs.com. Every show is represented there. Every show page divided into hours, 1, 2, and 3. Every hour divided into segments, 1, 2, 3, 4. So you can go right to the part you want and either read what we said, because James Ruvo, my scribe, is writing this down as I speak. Or you can, after the fact, we put audio and video so you could actually listen or watch. If you missed the show, you can listen or watch to that portion right there. TechGuyLabs.com. You can even leave a comment. You can shout at me. No point in shouting at the radio. I can't hear you. But you can shout on the website. Leo, you're wrong. So that's your place to do that, and I encourage you to do so, because that's why we make it available. TechGuyLabs.com. No charge. We have a chat room, too. And I mention this especially during this difficult time, because they're there all the day and all the night, 24/7, as the tech people say it, to talk and socialize and converse. And it's a nice bunch of people, so it's kind of good to know that that's there. If you need a little company. A lot of us are at home alone these days, and the chat room's always there for you. irc.twit.tv. You can go there with a browser. They'll help you if you want to use a IRC client. IRC is the technology we use, Internet Relay Chat. Really old technology, but it works so well, I see no reason to change. It's just, it's a good little technology, I think. TechGuyLabs.com. Let's see what's been going on in the world around us, as if you didn't know. We're going to make this not a completely COVID-free space, but, you know, this isn't a show about COVID. This is a show about tech. For instance, I think it's really interesting that a lot of different organizations are using the emergency of the virus to kind of leap on other bandwagons, hoping no one will notice. For instance, China and Huawei proposing something they call new IP, a new internet. A new internet. The proposal has caused concerns, according to the Financial Times, among Western countries, including the UK, Sweden, and the US, who think that the proposal that China and Huawei made at the International Telecommunications Union, ITU, would splinter the global internet. We have a system right now, you're probably familiar with it, TCP, IP, you know, the IP addresses you've heard about over and over again, because mysterious dotted quads, the four numbers separated by periods, and the whole system of DNS, all that stuff that we talk about, you know, the complicated stuff. That was invented many, many years ago by a guy named Vince Cerf and a group of scientists at the Department of Defense, at DARPA, private industry companies like Bolt Beranek and Newman, universities like Stanford and MIT all collaborated to create this thing we use today, 30, 40 years later, we know as the internet. It works pretty darn well, if you ask me. It's working real well right now, isn't it? Admittedly, you know, there's some burden on it. People are watching a lot more Netflix, so there's a little burden on it. But what would we do? How would we work from home without it? How would we, you know, I mean, now you can Netflix and chill. You can't go to the movie theater, but you can Netflix and chill. That's not so bad. I mean, it would be hard to imagine doing what we're doing these days without the internet. But China thinks it's not good enough. And it's interesting because one of the points of new IP is to give, according to the U.S., the state-run internet service providers granular control over how its citizens use the internet. Oh, China, that's what you want? What a surprise. It has gained the support of Russia. No surprise there either. And Saudi Arabia. What do these three authoritarian regimes have in common? Well, the internet's a threat to them. One of the features Huawei, the Chinese company Huawei, has built into new IP, something described as a shut up command. A shut up command. That means a central point in the network could cut off communication to or from a particular address. So basically, the internet, the way it works now, in theory, and admittedly, this is what we fight for all the time when we're talking about net neutrality, is an agnostic postman that simply moves the data, the boxes, the packets around. Doesn't inquire as to what the packet contains or who it's being sent from or to. That's none of its business. Just like in the postal service or the telephone company. It's none of my business. And that's how it should be. That's what net neutrality is all about. Packets is packets. No packets are greater than other packets. This system, and you can, you know, as with all of these kind of power grabs, you can always slice it differently to make it sound palatable. Well, how are we supposed to turn off malware command and control servers? How are we supposed to shut up terrorists? We need a command like this so we can shut down the bad actors on the internet. And there are plenty. Problem is, the bad actor in this case could be Russia, Saudi Arabia, or the Chinese government, deciding they don't like dissidents. And China does this all the time. All the time. Did you see the story that TikTok, which all the kids, I know the kids love it, but you might tell the kids, it's, you know, it's a Chinese company. And they had until recently instructed their moderators to eliminate TikToks from poor people. Shabby looking people. Because, well, that's not good. We don't want to see any poor people on TikTok. That's the kind of control that governments want. They want to keep the riffraff out. And the riffraff might include anybody who doesn't think the government is just not super stellar, not sufficiently deferential. The ITU will vote on this. I'm assuming this isn't going to happen. but I just thought I'd mention it. It's really interesting how, I mean, I know the bad actors. Yeah, these governments are the bad actors. And sometimes I include our own government. They're pushing through something they call the Earn It Act. Bipartisan, you know. Republicans and Democrats both love the Earn It Act because the Earn It Act is, well, think of the kids. The Earn It Act is designed, they say, to protect children against trafficking and abuse on the internet, which is admittedly a big problem. But the way they're doing it shows they have other motives. The Earn It Act says companies will be liable for any of the content held on those companies' sites. So Facebook will be liable for anything you post there. My blog, any comments that are posted there, I'm liable for. That's traditionally not been the case on the internet. Just like the phone company isn't liable for what you say on the phone. That's not their job to listen in. And for a long time, they call it Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. For a long time, internet service providers, and still today, are protected. You're just a common carrier. You're not responsible because, A, it would be impossible, and B, it puts them in the position of having to observe everything that goes on. And that is the secret of the Earn It Act. If you want to be protected, you have to make sure nothing bad is going on. In other words, you have to be able to read the content of every message, just like the phone company have to be able to listen to the content of every phone call. And that means encryption is out. Can't have encryption, because if I can hide the contents of my Facebook messages or my Apple messages or my WhatsApp messages, if I can encrypt them in such a way that Facebook or Apple can't read them, then they can't do the job the Earn It Act would require them to do. So they have to turn off encryption or, more likely, break it. Say, well, it's encrypted unless we want to read it, which isn't really encrypted, is it? And I trust Apple and maybe I don't trust Facebook, but that's not the point. If there's a key, if a key exists, it could leak out and then bad guys could also use that. So this is why the Earn It Act is a sneaky little thing that they're, you know, while everybody's paying attention, look over there. I'm going to sneak that one through, effectively ending end-to-end encryption in the U.S. Mm. Other countries have already done that, including China and Russia. Oh, 88, ask Leo. Just we can't, you know, these guys will act to take advantage of us as quickly as they can. There's lots of other things to talk about, and I'll bring up the nice stuff. For instance, we'll talk about the new MacBook Air and iPad a little more. I've been playing with the new iPad OS that has trackpad support. Wow. Very interesting. We'll talk a little more about that. And anything on your mind. 8888 Ask Leo. That's my phone number. I'd love to hear from you. No matter what, rain, nor sleet, nor snow, no dark of night, nor COVID virus will keep Kim Schaffer from her appointed rounds. Hello, Kimmy.
As long as I'm allowed to come in, I'll come in.
Yes. We should mention that Kim is sequestered in another studio. Two doors separate us. You're taking care, as I am, because I'm old. And you're taking care to keep me from getting sick, so thank you. I appreciate it.
You and my mid-70-year-old parents.
Yeah. 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 Think of the elders.
Yep.
So thank you for doing that. Now, you've also been answering the phones. A safe thing to do as long as you clean the handset.
Yes, everything is getting wiped down with Clorox wipes. Can find them anywhere.
No, but we bought, you know, it's funny because I'm not a germaphobe, but we had an outbreak of stomach flu, gastroenteritis, a couple months ago. Yeah, a few months ago. So I looked online and I bought these hospital wipes from Clorox and I put them everywhere. And thank goodness. We also have masks from the fires.
Yep.
So not many because we're not hoarding them or anything, but just a handful. And that's handy.
Right.
I know Jeff's wearing, it looks like he's wearing a homemade mask.
He's wearing one of the cheesy surgical masks. Yeah.
That's all right. Better than nothing.
The ones that won't really protect you.
Better than nothing. So who should I talk to first?
Let's try and help someone. Yes. Patricia has a missing cat and she's trying the neighbors have seen it on different cameras. And anyway, she wants help trying to figure out how to nab that little sucker.
Sure. Thank you, Kim. Hello, Patricia. I'm sorry about your missing kitty.
Yeah, she's been missing since December 26th.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah, well, she's been seen in the neighborhood 1.2 miles away from our house, and we're trying to figure out if we can rig up like a camera to, you know, spot her with.
Sure.
And then have it like go to her cell phone, and I have an Apple phone.
Yep. So, first of all, I'd suggest going to Facebook and Nextdoor.com. And neighbors.com, the local sites, you can do it by your street address and post there. Because then many neighbors might be on those social sites that are geographic. If you,
well, she's been posted to 7 different websites.
So there you go.
Neighborhood websites. She's had 40,000 views via Facebook.
Wow, that's great.
Well, we mainly get everybody responding to us when we posted up a found, you know, where you post lost and found items on Nextdoor.
Yeah.
That was when we got people responding, and they were seeing her go through the yard. They've caught her on camera. They've caught her with their cell phones.
So if somebody is willing to set up a camera and put it on their Wi-Fi and give it power. It has to be plugged in. You could put these cameras all over the place, wherever you can plug it in and put it on Wi-Fi. And I'm going to recommend the Wyze cams, WYZE.com, because they're $20 each. They're cheap.
Okay.
And they have exactly what you want. They have motion sensing and sound sensing. So if something moves through the camera, it'll notify you on your iPhone. They have a Wyze cam app, and it'll notify you. You can even talk to the kitty. So you think she'd or he would respond to your voice?
Yeah, she might.
So you could, if you see her, say, sweetie, kitty, kitty, kitty. And maybe she'll come on over, and then you can, you know, talk to her while you call the neighbor quickly and say, get her. What's her name?
Honey.
You know how cats are, though, right? They wander a territory. Yeah. We had a male cat. It's mostly males that do this. We had a male cat that visits us once in a while. We raised him from a kitten. He's very sweet, but he likes to check out what's going on in the rest of the area. And if somebody feeds him, and we do have a neighbor a few doors down who likes to feed stray cats, he's going to visit them just as much as he visits us. Cats go where the food is. So Hetty's probably getting fed somewhere. But these Wyze cams are great. Now, there is a negative, which is I don't know how soon you can get them. Because, as you know, there's supply problems. Plus, a lot of the sites that sell these things are, you know, busy doing other things. Amazon, for instance, is only shipping essential stuff. I'm gonna go to the Wyze Cam shopping cart here and see if they're delivering. They're in the Seattle area. And, well, yeah, it looks like you can get it pretty quickly. I don't see any delays anyway on their website. So I like these because they're cheap. $20. They do what you want, which is they have motion detection. You can check in at any time, so don't have the neighbors pointed toward the hot tub or anything. But they'll also sense motion, and you can then get a pop up on your phone, a notification. I see motion on your iPhone or Android phone, but it works on the iPhone. And I see motion, and you can quickly look at the picture that it caught and see if Hetty's in the area.
Okay.
So I think that's if your neighbors are willing to cooperate, certainly you can do it. In fact, I know this because my wife does it all the time, especially when we were traveling. She would check the cameras. We have cameras pointed toward the backyard where the cats, there's practically a path from where the cats go. And she would check. And anytime she saw motion, she said, oh, there's Hamilton, or oh, there's Samantha, or oh, there's Paris. And we would know the kitties were okay. So now one thing about the $20 camera is you need to put it in a sheltered area. It could be outside, but it should be under the eaves. It shouldn't get rained on. I think Wyze also has an outdoor camera you should check as well. These are real. I put them in the window and they're looking out the window. They're perfectly safe and they do a great job. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I hope you get your kitty back. Yeah, see, this is, hey, Scott.
Hey, Leo, how you doing?
I'm great. This is such a great graph to me.
Look at that.
This is from the Kinza thermometer, which I use. It's a internet-connected thermometer. And there are a lot of them. There are more than a million around the country because they were giving them out to schools for a long time for flu. Mm-hmm. So this was something they've been doing for years. So the blue line and the blue aura is what you'd expect this time of year from flu. And the observed, as you could see, for a while in March, in early March, it was way high because we had, you know, we started having COVID cases. But we social distanced, and look at that. Look at that. Boom. Now, not only are people not getting COVID, they're not getting the flu.
Yeah.
It's way low. So that's for our county. What county are you? What's your county?
Mine is L.A. County.
Los Angeles. Let's just see, because I know you have a little bit more
issue
in Los Angeles County. Let's just see. The same thing, though. See, California early on did this shelter in place, and you can really see what a difference that makes.
Yep.
Fewer people getting all kinds of illnesses. These are illnesses that are fever, have a fever associated. That's what, because there's temperature, the thermometers.
Right. Okay. So this is a thermometer company.
Yeah. They're really great internet connected thermometers.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Let's just. How much are they?
They have one that's 40 and one that's 60, and they're instant read. I have the ear one that's instant read.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What, you stick it in your ear?
Yep, and it's instant. You know, it's very quick. Let's just see what New York looks like.
What New York looks like. Yeah. Holy smokes.
So this would be what you'd expect. And you see they are, but you know what? They're going down. That's
they're going
good.
Down and they're just
but
now back into the
expected
rate.
You can see how much more. Yeah. So you can see how much more it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Brooklyn, I don't know if this is New York County. Does that include Brooklyn? I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah, probably. This is Manhattan. Richmond.
Yeah. Weeks ago, I decided not to go to CE Week in June. Which is at the Javits Center.
Yeah,
that they're now setting up as a hospital.
Yeah, right. I saw that. So, Kings County and Queens County. These are the worst right now. Let's look at Kings County. Yeah, still up in the red.
Yeah.
It's time for Scott Wilkinson, home theater guru. Woo-hoo. He is our home theater geek contributor at TechHive.com. And the man of the hour, since we're all staying home and watching a lot more TV these days.
Yes. Actually, though, today I want to talk about something audio.
Okay. People forget how important audio is, right?
Yeah, exactly. Listening to music is certainly therapeutic emotionally. And sure, you can watch TV, but listening to music is really important, too. And I just posted a review of something I thought was fantastic.
Tell me.
Well, normally, most of us listen to music on our phones now, right?
Yeah.
And you listen on wireless headphones, or maybe you plug it into the phone, and the quality's okay. But the what's called the digital to analog converter, or DAC, inside the phone is, you know, it's okay, but it's not great. I mean, the phone has to do so many things. They have to pack so much in there that they can't really put usually super great DACs and amps in there.
Some phones have good DACs, digital analog
converters. Some of them do.
The iPhone does not.
Right.
But I think, I'm trying to remember, I think LG put some good DACs in their phones. You know, if you read the audiophile sites, they'll mention, oh, this one has a surprisingly good DAC. It's a shame, though, because most people use iPhones, and those are not notoriously
great. Not that
good.
Well, I've got a solution for those people.
You do?
I do. It's a device from a British company called iFi, yeah. I-F-I, called the Hip DAC.
The Hip DAC?
The Hip DAC.
Is that because you keep it on your hip?
You know, I believe it's because it kind of looks like a little hip flask.
It does. It looks just like a hip flask. Oh, that's hysterical. So now, this is a amplifier and digital to audio converter. So you plug it in to the headphone jack, which most phones don't have anymore.
Actually, no, you don't. You plug it into the
lightning port.
The lightning port.
Okay.
Or in the case of an Android phone, the USB-C, I guess.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to plug it into the headphone jack even if it had it, because that's
digital.
Analog out. You want digital.
Correct.
You want the bits. I see.
Correct. And let this thing do the conversion. And then
instead of the phone's built-in converter, which
correct.
Isn't so good.
Yeah. Correct.
That makes sense.
Now, this thing is a little smaller than a phone.
Okay.
It's built like a tank.
Yeah, it looks
nice. This company, this iFi company, does a lot of high-end pro stuff, audio stuff, and they've trickled that down into this iFi Hip DAC. It even has a balanced audio output as well as a standard 3.5 millimeter headphone output.
So that's nice. So you can plug in your old wired headphones into it. Plug it into your phone via Lightning or USB-C port, and you've got a headphone converter, plus the audio quality is better, right?
And, oh, man, the audio quality of this thing is awesome.
Really?
I was listening to a bunch of different tunes, as I always do for reviews. I listen to a lot of different kinds of music. So I was listening to classical, I was listening to jazz, I was listening to pop. And some electronic, Brian Eno. Remember Brian Eno?
I love Brian Eno.
Oh, yeah. Well, he and his brother, Roger, have a new album out of electronic music. It's pretty low key, not quite ambient, but almost. But everything through this Hip DAC was just wonderful. I kept writing in my notes, liquid. It just has this liquid smoothness to it that was gorgeous.
I should mention that he and his brother have put out an app, too, for iOS called Bloom.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. It's not, I don't know if it's his brother. Peter Chilvers is the
co-author. Roger Eno's his brother.
Okay. And Bloom, which is that classic ambient Eno music, you generate your own, and it's beautiful. And that would sound great on this, too.
It would sound great on this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So this has its own battery. It doesn't drain your phone's battery.
Correct. And you wouldn't want it to because it takes a lot of juice. It's got a 2,200 milliamp hour battery, which is a lot.
That's like the phone size. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. And it'll last 8 to 12 hours depending on how loud you play and
nice.
You know how much power your headphones require.
You could also power it from a computer separately. So you could
Correct.
Go
and
forever.
You wouldn't need the battery for that.
Yeah.
You could plug it straight into a USB out port on your computer, and it would power that directly.
So computers don't have great DACs in many cases either, so this could replace your computer's DAC, too.
Correct.
Oh,
correct.
I'm liking this more and more.
Exactly.
Now, here comes the bad news. How much?
Not bad at all. $149.
Yikes.
These
are expensive because this is sophisticated circuitry. This is not.
It's very sophisticated circuitry. We're talking balanced audio circuitry throughout this thing, which it would be difficult to get into in a couple minutes exactly what that means. But it is a great improvement over, you know, your standard what's called single-ended or unbalanced circuitry.
Yeah.
Another couple of really cool features about this thing. It has a. It has a feature called X-Bass, and usually when I see a feature called X-Bass, I think, oh, man, that's going to just be boomy, bloated, ugly bass.
Boom, boom, boom.
Exactly, boom, but not in this boom. Case. This X-Bass is really intended for if you have open-back headphones. You have over-ear headphones that have an open back. They don't typically have as good bass response, so you lose some bass out of the music that you're listening to. This thing puts it back. Now, I was listening on in-ear monitors, in-ear headphones, and the bass was too much, but I was really surprised at how smooth that bass was. It wasn't boomy. It wasn't bloated. It wasn't ugly. It was just it was integrated beautifully into the mix, just too much for the type of headphones I was listening to. But if you need it, it's a wonderfully implemented circuit. I was totally surprised at that.
So we're trying to, here we are upgrading your audio experience. You're going to probably want to get better headphones than the ones that come with the iPhone too.
Well, that goes without saying almost. Yeah, definitely. But you know, you can get, I was listening on the one more triple driver in-ear headphones. And those are $70-$80. You know, it's not a tremendous investment. Sure, you can spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on headphones, but you don't have to. The triple driver, the one more triple driver in particular, I love the sound quality of those.
Okay.
And you know, $70-$80. Now $150 for an outboard DAC, yes, that's not super cheap. On the other hand, it is for what you get in this
case. I've spent more than that easily for headphone amps.
Yeah.
So this is an amp and a DAC. So you control the level. It's got a knob on it that you could turn it up and down.
It's got a knob control the level. Yeah, exactly right.
Now, after all this, you're such a tease. I immediately, of course, you know me, I ran to Amazon to buy it using the link on your site. Currently unavailable. We don't know when or if this item will be back in stock.
Well, I was told that iFi, they introduced it at Can Jam last year in New York, last fall. And it got such a great reception that they sold out. And now, of course, they've got some supply chain problems with the virus. But I'm told by the company that is soon to be resolved. So it will be coming soon.
I would love to get this.
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
I should mention that you also, when you use wireless headphones like Apple's AirPods or AirPods Pro or the Samsung Buds or the Google Buds, those are getting a digital signal from Bluetooth, and they have a DAC built into those little tiny headphones.
Correct, but they're little tiny headphones.
And you might imagine how bad those DACs are.
Yeah, exactly. Not to mention the fact that Bluetooth uses a pretty high compression.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose video or audio quality on that, too. So these things use a wired headphone, but man, does it sound good.
Okay.
So look for it. Just be a little patient. It'll get back in the supply chain. And when it does, I think you're going to really like it.
Like many things made in China. It's not currently available, but that may turn around. Scott Wilkinson, he's our home theater geek. He's a tease. Contributor at TechHive.com. That's where you can read Scott's review with lots more details. Thank you, Scott. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888. Ask Leo the phone number. Janelle's on the line from Tigard, Oregon. Hi, Janelle.
Hi, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing well, but my Wi-Fi doesn't seem to be.
Oh, no. Wi-Fi these days is very sickly.
Wondering. I don't know if I know. So I have a mesh router and with two satellites.
Okay.
And I used to get, two things have gone off. I can't get Wi-Fi extended out as far as I used to. And as a result, one of my Ring security cameras is down.
Yeah.
So is that because everyone's on?
Yeah, it's a number of things. But yeah, you're exactly right. So when we first started using Wi-Fi, we didn't need all these mesh things and the extenders and everything. You had your cable modem or your DSL modem, a router, and it broadcast and it worked fine because we had maybe a laptop, maybe a phone. Now the neighbors have it, you have it, and you have more devices like that Ring camera and, you know, Amazon Echoes and stuff. Many houses have a dozen or more devices attached to the same Wi-Fi. So Wi-Fi itself hasn't changed that much. In fact, it's gotten a little better as they keep improving the specs and so forth. The new technologies come along. In fact, the latest one is now Wi-Fi 6, 802.11ax, and that's just starting to come out. And so one of the things the Wi-Fi Alliance does is they try to improve Wi-Fi for these more challenging conditions. There's also, and this is something to keep in mind, there's two different bands, actually in some cases three bands of Wi-Fi. There's a band in the 2.4 gigahertz range. That's what Wi-Fi used to be always. And then starting with 802.11n, I think, or maybe it was A, they started adding a 5 gigahertz band. Yeah, I think it was A. They started adding 5 gigahertz band. And now there's two bands in the 5 gigahertz range and one in the 2.4. Your device will work better if it's on the 2.4 band because it travels farther, travels through walls. So one thing that sometimes happens with IoT devices, Internet of Things devices like your Ring doorbell, sometimes they glom onto the 5 gigahertz channel, and that's not good for them. So one thing you can do, it's a little tricky to do this because different routers have different capabilities. You may be who makes your mesh router?
Orbi.
Orbi. I like the Orbi a lot. Yeah, that's Netgear.
Netgear.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's called the Orbi. Yeah, I know. I know which one. Yeah. In fact, I use that one as along with an Eero, who's one of our sponsors. I think both are very, very good. Orbi's got the best speed, and you say you have two base units. That's a lot. How many square?
No, I have one base unit,
two satellites. I mean, yeah. What's the square footage of the area you're trying to cover?
Well, I don't really know the square footage, but it's kind of a unique situation, and it was working fine. We were getting Wi-Fi out in the tiny home in the backyard, and now I can't get Wi-Fi.
Ah, so it's the tiny home outside that's the problem.
Yeah.
It
lost its Wi-Fi, and the Ring did too.
Yeah. So 2.4 gigahertz would be better for that tiny home. So on the Orbi, I think you can name the 5 and the 2.4. Netgear used to be able to do that. I don't know if they can do it now. If you can name it, then you can go back to your Ring and say, only use the one that's 2.4 gigahertz. That will, in fact, the whole tiny home should only be using 2.4. The advantage of 5 is fewer things use it, and it doesn't go as far. So neighbors aren't bothering it. What may have happened, is there a neighbor near the tiny house?
Not really.
Okay.
There's a lot of space here in Oregon.
Good. Sometimes a neighbor, though, will buy one of these fancy, you know, super powerful Wi-Fi routers and blast you out of existence. So if you don't have a neighbor, that's not the case. But for others listening, that can also be a problem because Wi-Fi has this terrible attribute, which is it's polite. So when you're communicating with your Ring doorbell, if all of a sudden it sees another Wi-Fi signal trying to communicate, it'll stop.
No.
It'll pause and say, okay, you first. After you, Alphonse. And then waits a random amount of time and starts up again. If it sees it is still, it stops again. So Wi-Fi will always have these pauses, these dips in signal as it's waiting for, if you're in a congested area. It sounds like you're not. So I'm just mentioning this for other people. The other possibility, remember, Wi-Fi doesn't, especially 5 gigahertz, but even 2.4, doesn't like going through barriers. The more walls between you and the router, the worse. And you know what the worst barrier is? Those big bags of water we call human beings. They will, if it's shooting through you, it will really attenuate the signal. So we always recommend you put the router as high as you can.
Right.
Aiming above the heads of people. And ideally, you shouldn't have it going through two walls. So if you want to get to the tiny house, it should be as close to the perimeter of the big house as possible.
Right.
Near the tiny house. Put it in a window if possible. Because a wall, sometimes walls have metal in them and other stuff. Metal's death to Wi-Fi. It sounds like you know all this stuff, right? You're doing all of this.
We did. My husband did it, actually. But, I mean, now I know all about it.
You're an expert. There's a great article, Ars Technica, which is one of my favorite tech publications. And a guy who is the king of all of this, I think, Jim Salter, I really admire him, wrote a really nice piece last month in Ars Technica on Wi-Fi, everything you need to know about Wi-Fi signals and positioning. It's a wonderful article. I'll put a link in the show notes at techguylabs.com so you can go to it. And it has a lot of suggestions. Mesh is always a better idea. I should mention Orbi now makes an outdoor satellite. So you could hang one in the eaves of your big house. That would certainly work better to get to the little house because there'd be nothing between it and the little house. And it would be near enough your big house so that it – or the Orbi satellites are very smart. They have a high-speed back channel between them, so they're very good. The other thing you could do – do you have an Orbi satellite in the little house?
Yeah.
You do?
Yes.
So another thing that works really well is those Orbi satellites have Ethernet jacks in the back. Now, I know this won't work for the Ring doorbell, but because – the Ethernet actually works better on the satellites than Wi-Fi because the Orbis have their own back channel that's very, very fast. And so it's not quite as good as wired, but it's better than Wi-Fi if you use their hardwired jacks, even in the satellite. Okay. Just something to know since you got a satellite out there. Yeah, I'd take a look at it. It's not cheap. Your husband already spent a lot of money. Those Orbis are very expensive. But there is an outdoor Orbi that you could put somewhere – you know, like the eaves of the house, you could put outside the big house. That might help a lot, too.
Well, thank you.
My pleasure. This is a common problem. In fact, we do a show after this show. I do a little podcast called Ask the Tech Guy with individual questions. And that's one of the questions we're going to answer. So I'm a little bit beefed up on this particular subject right now because last night I wrote a long article. We'll put it in the show notes too of what to do if your Wi-Fi is not working. I like the Orbis. I actually upgraded the Orbis because they're one of the first routers to come out with Wi-Fi 6, the new 802.11ax. And it has a lot of nice features. But there's no point in getting it until your devices have Wi-Fi 6. The iPhone 11s do. My new Dell XPS 13 does. The new MacBook Air will. So as more machines start getting the capability to do Wi-Fi 6, that might be something. I wouldn't run out and get one today. But down the road, it might be worth looking at upgrading to Wi-Fi 6. They do things, all sorts of interesting things to improve this problem because everybody's got this problem. It's kind of universal right now. There's so much congestion. We're putting so many devices on it. Most Wi-Fi devices, the IoT, the little ones like Amazon Echoes and doorbells and things, really work better on 2.4 gigahertz. Some of them won't work at all. So you want to make sure they're on the 2.4 gigahertz signal, things like that. Here you go, Scotty.
No problemo.
All yours.
Thank you.
I'm going to wander in the circles in my office. I can't
There's
go
nobody
out.
Else there, is there?
Well, there are other people here. That's why I'm not going out the door.
Right? Ah, got it. Yeah. Well, Kimmy's there, of course.
Kimmy's here. Jeff runs. We have to have a technical director
here. Board op.
Yeah, well, I'm operating the board, but he's got to put the parts in and stuff. And then I think there's somebody from Continuity here. I'm going to put my mask on and wander around. All yours.
Oh, thank you. So, hey, everybody. I'm glad you're with us this fine day. We've been talking about Tidal, actually, in the chat room, as those of you who are watching may know. They have a section called Tidal Master, which is high-res audio, essentially. It's better than CD-quality digital audio that is not compressed or compressed only losslessly. So it requires more bandwidth, but even so, it's nothing compared to video bandwidth, so shouldn't be a problem. And that's what I use now as my test material when I'm doing audio products, which I did on the iFi Hip DAC and so on, because it's really, really good. It's very high quality content, and there's an awful lot of content there in that format, so plenty to listen to and plenty to choose from. Now, Twisted Mister said something that I had not heard before, which is, says, have you heard anyone else complaining about Tidal using Audirvana having distorted high-end? Audirvana sounds better than Tidal's app, but there's pretty bad distortion in the current version. Well, I haven't tried Audirvana as an app to listen to Tidal. I just use Tidal's app. Because I like its user interface. I can easily get to the Tidal Master library. I can easily get to the 360 Reality Audio library, which I also really like. And I was telling somebody else here, Mark Inham, about the 360 Reality Audio library, which is much smaller than the Master library. But I talked about this some weeks ago on the show. It's the artists went in and remixed their content, their tracks, to be basically three-dimensional, object-oriented audio. And it's a format developed by Sony. And of course, Sony music artists have done it, but others have too. There are maybe, I think they're on the order of like 1,000 titles on Tidal. Remixed in this 360 Reality Audio. And it's important to note that the artists have gone in and done the remix. So it's not some aftermarket, third-party, post-processing thing that you have no idea whether the artist might like it or think it represents their art or not, because they went in and did it, so, which is one part of it that I really like. So if you like that, and somebody here in the chat room, Mark Inham, I think, said, I haven't tried that yet. I'm more of a traditionalist. Okay, it's not traditional. That's true. But it's not, as I say, a post-processing thing that the artist had nothing to do with. They actually went in and remixed their content. And so that gives it some validity to me. And I really like the effect. It makes the sound like it's farther outside your head and all around. I wouldn't say there's a lot of overhead stuff, but it just feels much more immersive. And so I do enjoy listening to that. Let's see. Mark Inham says, the thing about Audirvana or a similar app is they bypass the OS's default filtering. Mac OS always does upsampling on the output, which isn't really what you want. Well, that's true if you have a nice DAC. Are you talking about Mac OS or iOS? Because they're different. Maybe they do the same thing. I don't actually know. No, you don't really want to upsample. I would much rather have, the original digital file that exists. And if you're listening to Tidal Master, you're getting most often MQA, which is a Meridian format that stands for Master Quality Authenticated. But it's a high res audio format, and I think it just sounds great. Shortwave says you don't want Android OS filtering either. Well, yeah, that's true, I suppose. Shortwave says, good to see Tidal getting some respect. It's good stuff. Yes, it is good stuff. I really like it. That's what I use now for all my testing and my listening, too. I go out on a lot of walks these days, like Kim Schaffer does. And I take my phone and I take my wireless earbuds in that case. I don't take the HipDAC generally, although I could. I mean, I haven't had it that long, and I might just as well take it. But the problem there is that when you're out in the world, there's, I mean, even with in-ear headphones, which is what I wear, or over-ear, around-the-ear headphones, circumaural as they're called, you know, you still get some ambient sound coming in, and that obscures some of the music that you're listening to. So I don't think it's as important, ultimate fidelity, when you're out and about, you know, walking the dog or whatever, and cars are going by or wind is rustling through the trees, stuff like that. You get some isolation with headphones, certain types of headphones anyway, but not total. And so the super high fidelity isn't as important to me out there as it is in my house.
Check there out Prime Phonic too, which is a high res classical music streaming service.
Really? What's it called?
Prime Phonic.
Prime Phonic.
I really like it. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, man. Scott. Have a great week. Stay healthy.
See you next week.
Bye-bye. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches. 8888 Ask Leo. Johnny Jett, our travel guru's coming up in about half an hour. It's interesting because Johnny can't talk about travel that much anymore. But I might try to get my son on. He just did a little traveling himself, just arrived home here in the Bay Area, SFO, from Bali. He was on a three-month Asia trip, just traveling around, enjoying himself when COVID hit. He was in Vietnam. He said they were getting more and more hostile towards foreigners. So he skipped Vietnam, went to Bali, which was still open for business at the time. After a few weeks, Bali started shutting down as well. And I was a little worried because I don't know how good the medical infrastructure is there. So I encouraged him to come home. And, of course, once the bars shut down, my son, who's 25, was less interested in staying in Bali. He had done enough surfing. And his friends, who he was staying in a villa, he'd made friends with some Italians. They could not go home. They have been they're going to be stuck in Bali for some time, for obvious reasons, but he was able to find a flight home, flew through Tokyo, had an 8-hour layover in Tokyo. He said they weren't too stringent when he got off the plane in Tokyo. The health screening wasn't too stringent. I imagine he's going through a much more strict one right now. I'll see if he can maybe call in and talk about what it was like to travel in these end times. 8888 Ask Leo, but most of all, I think we want to talk about tech. I want to correct myself. The chat room tells me I was excited. I thought the new MacBook Air for sure would have the latest Wi-Fi in it, Wi-Fi 6. It does not. They finally updated Bluetooth to Bluetooth, is it 5 or 5.2, the latest Bluetooth, but they did not update Wi-Fi, which is odd. I do have a laptop. The Dell XPS 13 and 2020 edition has Wi-Fi 6 in it. The iPhone has Wi-Fi 6 in it. Most new phones will. And I'm told Wi-Fi 6 gives you better results. I did, just as an experiment, buy a Wi-Fi 6-enabled router just to see. That's the new Netgear Orbi, at great expense, I might add. Those things are not cheap. Most expensive router I've ever bought. And it does seem, I don't know if it's faster. I think it was maybe 10, 15% faster. It should be more robust, and that's really the main reason you would be looking at Wi-Fi 6, because as I mentioned, every Wi-Fi technology has met its Waterloo in our complex Wi-Fi environment. That's really for sure. We can talk about that. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. There is a block a bug in iOS that is not yet fixed. You should be aware about if you use a VPN, and we talk about VPNs a lot, virtual private network that protects you if you're an open Wi-Fi access spot, but also might protect your privacy by hiding, you know, the sites you're visiting from prying eyes like your internet service provider. Apparently on iOS, if you've got an existing connection to a website, to a messaging service, anything that's open when you turn on the VPN will not be inside the VPN tunnel. It'll be outside the tunnel. So it will still be leaking information. iOS will probably get fixed at some point soon so that it will automatically reconnect through the tunnel when the tunnels turn on. But for right now, those connections persist unencrypted. So just something to be aware of. It's not a massive bug, but just something to be aware of. Google has donated $800 million in cash and in-trade ads to fight coronavirus. This is one thing I know a lot of companies are doing, which is discounting their products. And most of that $800 million comes from a discount in the costs of ads through Google. Particularly, they're giving discounts and advertising discounts to help small businesses, to help spread information about coronavirus. $250 million in ad grants for the World Health Organization and 100 other government agencies for virus information. $250 million in free ads. There's a $200 million investment fund that'll help nonprofits and financial institutions provide small businesses with access to capital. That's a really tough thing right now, certainly in the U.S., but I bet around the world, where restaurants and other businesses, service businesses, are just shut down. Their employees out of work. $340 million in Google ad credits to small and mid-sized businesses that have bought Google ads over the past year. And you can use those credits anytime through the year. $20 million in Google Cloud credits for academic institutions and researchers. So a nice contribution. Apple doing its part, too. They created a new website, apple.com/COVID-19, all one word. It's a COVID-19 screening tool. You can also download an app on your iPhone that does the same thing, COVID-19. In fact, it looks exactly like the web page. Apple rushed this out to help help people. My guess is that most of us now know what the symptoms are, but it's still probably useful to have this informational page for people who haven't been obsessively following the news, as many of us have. So if you have an iPhone, you can download the COVID-19 app from Apple or go to apple.com/COVID-19. It's got information as well as a screening there. So if you think you're sick, and then it has recommendations what to do. Do not rush to the hospital, I think is probably the primary recommendation. Call your physician and find out what they want you to do. They want to be prepared if you show up at the hospital. They don't want you to just drive up and say, hey, I'm here. I'm sick. What do you want me to do now? What else? Let's see. Rumors that Apple's going to be launching new Macs in 2021 with ARM processors. I have to kind of ignore those. I do like the fact that this rumor also said Apple will start supporting USB 4 in 2022. We can wait. We can wait for that. But USB 4 is going to be very fast. It's going to be a big improvement over USB 3.1, which is our current USB. Maybe a delay in the iPhone in the fall due to manufacturing constraints. But I saw a leak from Apple, and of course you always have to take these with a grain of salt, that the iPhone 9, which is their successor to the iPhone SE, a low-cost, smaller iPhone with modern guts, insides, processors, so you can use the latest software and operating systems, iOS, but for a lower cost. Usually, I think it's the SE was $400, right? A lot less than the flagship iPhone. They're according to this rumor, going to call it iPhone 9, and it will be ready to ship next month. Next month. So if you've been waiting to buy an iPhone and you want to save a little money, this might be something worth waiting a few weeks for, because next month is, like 3 days from now. next month soon. Wow. How do we get through March so fast? 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. We could talk about anything having to do with tech, including helping you find your cat. I hope Hetty is found. Our show today brought to you by ExpressVPN. You are using ExpressVPN, aren't you? I hope you are. ExpressVPN is the product, the VPN I use and recommend to everybody for protecting your security and your privacy online. And we always talk about that when we're talking about VPNs and ExpressVPN in particular. Did you know, though, that ExpressVPN can also help take your TV watching to the next level? Now that we're stuck at home, maybe you've got burned through all the good movies on Netflix and you're looking for more. ExpressVPN will help you take your TV watching to the next level by unlocking movies and shows that aren't available in the U.S. See, with ExpressVPN, you push that button, you can be in any country in the world, almost 100 different countries, and watch the Netflix collections in those countries. Aha! Use ExpressVPN to binge on Doctor Who or Star Trek on the UK Netflix. It's easy to do. You just have Netflix open, fire up your ExpressVPN app, press the button, choose where you want to be, choose the UK, refresh Netflix, and boom, you see all the UK shows. It's completely legal. Netflix said it's fine. We don't recommend it because it's so slow. But they don't know about, I guess, they don't know about ExpressVPN, which is so fast you can watch movies in high def without a blink or a hiccup. It works beautifully. Go to Japan and watch Japanese Netflix and all the anime you could ever want. And not just Netflix, Hulu, BBC Player, YouTube, you name it, you can be in any country thanks to ExpressVPN. Think about all the Netflix libraries you could go through. And ExpressVPN, of course, does a lot more. It hides your IP address, lets you control where you want, where sites think you are, protects your privacy, keeps you secure. There are lots of VPNs out there. The one I use, the one I recommend, and I have now for some time, is ExpressVPN. No buffering, no lag. You can watch HD video. In fact, I leave ExpressVPN on all the time. Sometimes I forget I have it on. You can't tell the difference. It is so fast. Works on everything you've got, and not just Android, iOS, Mac, and Windows, but on media consoles, on smart TVs, so you can watch what you want on the go or on the big screen, too. We've got a great deal for you. If you go to expressvpn.com/techguy right now, you get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN free when you buy a year plan. I love ExpressVPN. Now's the time to take advantage of it and expand your viewing horizons. Support the show. Watch what you want. Protect your privacy and security online. You can do it all. ExpressVPN.com/TechGuy. Thank you, ExpressVPN, for supporting the Tech Guy show. Thank you for supporting the podcast by using that special address, ExpressVPN.com/TechGuy. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. 8888 Ask Leo. The phone number. On with the show we go to line 3, Dan in New Jersey. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Leo.
Welcome.
I hope you can help me out.
I hope so too.
I like to hike, and I have been using a program with hiking maps called Avenza.
Oh, I don't know that. Avenza?
Yeah.
Neat.
And you can search for, you know, certain parks, et cetera, and you can download the maps, the hiking trails for those parks that they have available.
Oh, I'm immediately going to use this. That looks great. And it's also on iOS and Android, but it's also on the web. That's right. Really cool.
And what's good about it is also that it's like the maps are GPS enabled or whatever, so that you can see where you are on a trail.
That's always a problem because Google Maps might show some trails, but it's not very complete. So having that,
these are the actual trail maps.
That's fantastic.
And in case you know, I mean, in the olden days, you might look at the map and go, "Oh well, you know, where am I?
Yeah.
How deep into the woods am I?"
You had to have compass skills.
Right. Or you say that, oh, well, here's a bridge. We're going to cross a
right.
bridge.
And, oh, I remember. I remember, yeah.
So it's great because you can see how where you are.
Perfect. I'm getting it right now. That's fantastic.
And you got to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, it's
we're all hiking a lot more than we used to, right? If you're lucky enough to live near the wilderness, the wild country, you can hike. We got a lot of hikes in Northern California, so that's great.
And actually, it's actually the trails, the hiking trails are around here in the New York, New Jersey area. There are a lot. You would not believe it, but
that's why it's helpful to have this, right? Because to find them,
right?
Yeah.
But you, but I went last weekend to the Delaware Water Gap, and the
fun
parking lot was like overflowing
yeah.
with people. Because everybody all had the same idea.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen so many people on the trails out here. And, of course, everybody's walking their dog. It's a good excuse to get out.
Exactly.
We just all keep our social distance, you know, 6 feet away, and it's fine.
Exactly.
It's really actually, I think it's necessary. So you don't get cabin fever. You got to get outside.
Yeah, and also you just get away from the news. It's, you know, your head gets cleared.
I find I get out in nature, it's reassuring because it continues, right? It's all there. And you sometimes it's kind of easy to feel like the whole world's falling apart. When you go out in nature and it's all alive and everybody's doing, it's just a nice thing, I find.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
So the thing is, though, now that I don't know if it's possible, if you know about this, I have some maps that were made even by the local counties of local trails, maybe smaller parks, that I would like to make have the same like GPS or
right
where, and I've even got the maps that have been created by map makers, but they just they're not in the Avenza app or any kind of similar app. And I was wondering if there's a way that you can orient any given map if you scanned it. Let's say it's the real.
Yeah, so I'm looking at Avenza, and it sounds like they do their own maps. They're not using any of the publicly available mapping systems. But there's one you should know about that you can contribute to. It's an open-source, crowdsourced mapping technology called OpenStreetMap. It's at openstreetmap.org. And in fact, you would be doing everyone a great service if you would contribute the information you have about those trails to OpenStreetMap. Once you've done that, you can use the OpenStreetMap app on your phone and the GPS will work and everything. So
that's right. That's what I would like.
Yeah.
And to share it with other people is, the ultimate.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, OpenStreetMap only exists because people have done this. In some ways, and you'll see OpenStreetMap referred to in Google Maps, in Bing Maps. They get used by other people as well, and so there are many maps that use OpenStreetMaps. I don't know if they have an OpenStreetMaps apps per se, but there are many apps that use OpenStreetMap on the iPhone and Android phone, and those maps would work with a GPS in the phone and pinpoint you on the map. So
that's great.
Yeah, I would look at OpenStreetMap.org. You may be surprised at how well the trails are mapped already. One of the things OpenStreetMap does, which is really great, is if you have a GPS tracker, you can take your track, it'll record your track and apply it to OpenStreetMaps, and that will help make OpenStreetMaps better. People are doing that all the time. So my guess is it might be very well represented. Trails might be very well represented in OpenStreetMap, maybe even better than streets, because I think the kind of people that support OpenStreetMap probably do a lot of hiking would be my guess.
Right. And I'm going to take a look because I want to be able to create mine because I know they're not available on Avenza at least, and because they're like smaller parks, that people don't always pay attention to or give the right attention. So that's a good suggestion.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I think we should all support it because Google's so dominant. Google, Apple, and Microsoft really dominate this field, TomTom. And I think it'd be nice to have a crowdsourced map we can all use for free is a great idea, I think. And I think there's the opportunity for it to be more up to date. You don't have to wait for a Google Street View car to drive around to find out if that bridge is out. You can report it on OpenStreetMap, and
that's beautiful.
Everybody will benefit from it. Yeah. So take a look at it and let me know. I'd be curious how it works for the hikes that you go on.
Thank you. And one more thing.
Yeah.
Do you have time?
Yeah, sure, Dan.
This is for homeschooling kids.
Yes.
a question. The teachers now have been sending forms, basically, you know, so we've been using Google Classroom. I've been helping my son. But sometimes they take old documents and just, like, scan them and then tell you, you know, fill out the blanks on this page. But what happens is then you've got to, you can't write on it on the computer necessarily, like it's a PDF.
Yeah.
So you've got to download it, print it, fill it out somehow.
Yeah.
And then scan it again.
Isn't that annoying? Isn't that annoying? Ugh.
No. So I'm trying to figure out a way, at least, I mean, I've kind of found a way that it, like, to be able to edit the PDF to at least put, like, fillable blanks on the, even to tell the teachers how to do this if they want to, you know? And I looked for some software. All the software seems to be prohibitively expensive for PDF editing.
Yeah. That's an interesting question. I feel like there should be free and open source software to do that. This is, of course, Adobe, which created the PDF format, charges an exorbitant amount for the Adobe Acrobat distiller, right, creator, and form filler. And I think as a result, there are a lot of companies out there that you want to create a form, right? I mean, editing PDFs should be pretty easy. Word will do it. You could do it in Preview on a Macintosh. But if you wanted to create a fillable form, is that kind of what you'd like to do?
Yeah, well, I mean, even if I just take the PDF that already exists.
Oh, well, if you just want to, that's, I always do this. Yeah, yeah. I type in all the answers and stuff, and it looks like I did it professionally, right?
Right. Where if a kid just starts writing in it, you could typing in it, they can type it in, and it's,
right,
you don't have to, like, create, like, a text box and, you know, all the, I mean, I can create a text box, but once again, you're trying to just get the homework done, not like,
yeah. You know, ideally it would be a form, then it would, you just tab and make it very easy. But if you don't mind,
right, exactly,
using the form edit, the PDF editing tools, Macintosh Preview will do it. Word, Office will do it. Foxit's really good. And Foxit has a free, limited editing as well. I'd check out those three things. They're much better. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Henry.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, it's my son. Well, let me get Johnny Jett on here. Johnny, my son is calling. He just flew home from Bali. He's on his way to Santa Rosa. Yay!
Oh, my God, that's great.
You made it.
How full was the flight?
Yeah. Pretty empty. Basically, the entire back half of the plane was just, nobody there.
So you could stretch out and lie down and everything?
Yeah, I was going to try and sneak into business class, but I figured I had, like, a couch in the back, so yeah, that was almost better.
So he's on United. He flew from Bali to Tokyo on United, right? It was on United?
Yeah, so the first flight was Garuda.
Oh, Garuda.
Asian airline, and okay, then the second flight was Nippon Airways,
oh,
which is like a United affiliate.
It's a Star Alliance, yeah.
ANA.
Yeah, ANA, exactly.
Oh, ANA's very nice. That's a good airline.
Yeah. They killed it. It was amazing. Great service. And I think they also had a lot less people to attend to. So we got all the attention of the stewardesses and whatnot.
Were they wearing masks, the flight attendants?
Yeah, everybody was.
Including you?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, for the most part.
And did you wipe
and
down?
How was customs?
Go ahead, Johnny, you ask.
Well, how was customs and immigration? Was there a long line? Did they ask you a lot of questions? Did they tell you self-quarantine?
No, it was kind of a breeze. They basically just checked that you weren't in China in the past, like, 2 weeks or South Korea. And if you said no, then they let you right through. I think they were just happy. There was no lines because nobody's traveling right now. So they're just happy about the fact that their jobs are so easy right now. So they were kind of having a good time joking around. So it was really easy. It took 2 seconds.
Wow.
He said the customs people were so happy to have anybody.
They were just messing around with themselves. I mean, they're having fun. It was a good time, kind of.
That seems a little
odd.
So
what was it like? Were you in Bali or were you in Vietnam?
I was in Bali for the past couple of weeks and then Vietnam previous to that.
And what was the mood in Bali? Were there people out? Were all the Australians out at the bars? What was going on?
For the first, like, 3 days, then I think they had a couple of cases come in. And after that, they started to close down restaurants and bars. And now I think they're actually starting to regulate it like mandate bars closing down. But unfortunately for them, I think tourism is sort of the main thing that they're focused on. So when they close bars and people don't show up, it's pretty, you know,
it dies.
Bad for the island as a whole.
Yeah, and I would worry about them being taking it out on you. I know Indonesians are really sweet and generous, but I still would worry that you might not be welcome. I know in Vietnam you were starting to feel a little unwelcome.
Yeah, they're just scared of tourists in general.
Right.
They weren't letting people into stores and restaurants and stuff, anybody that didn't look like a local. So I think that's kind of happening around the world, though, as well.
And you were staying in a villa you had rented with a bunch of friends, many of whom were from Italy, right?
Yeah, so we had some Italian friends, some German friends, and some British friends that we all kind of tried to self-quarantine within a villa together, and they're all having a lot more trouble than I did getting back to their home countries. I think a lot of their governments are chartering flights out of Bali right now, though, luckily, because some Brits, there's a whole Facebook page of Brits stranded in Bali right now that just can't get flights home.
Yikes.
So I think Britain Parliament is chartering flights out of the Bali airport to just get that entire group home right now.
And Mom said one of your Italian friends was got sick and she ended up in the hospital. Is that right?
No.
Oh, okay. But there was
exactly.
One woman there.
She might have been exaggerating a little
bit.
Yeah,
that sounds like Mom. There was one woman there who did get sick, right?
Yeah, we had a couple friends that had some worrying symptoms, but for the most part, I think, I don't know, could have just been a hangover. Who knows?
Henry, I'm so glad you're home. Thank you for calling in, okay?
Yeah.
I love you, and I'm going to come up and visit you. I'll wear a mask. I'm going to drop off some stuff.
All right, stay 6 feet away, though.
I will. I love you, sweetie. Right. I'm glad you made it.
Love you, too.
Go to bed.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
See ya.
He's been everywhere, ain't going anywhere. Johnny Jett, our traveling guy, is here, johnnyjett.com. Johnny and I just got off the phone with my son, who just flew home from Bali. He said there are a bunch of Brits who are stuck there. The British government is going to try to fly them home. But he was easily able to get home flying through Tokyo to the United States, and he has made it safe and sound. He said it wasn't too hard to get through customs in the U.S. There wasn't much of a health check. He said, if you were coming from China, maybe, but not from Bali or Tokyo, which was interesting.
Yeah. And the most interesting part was that he said that, you know, his flight was pretty much empty. So
yeah, he was on ANA coming home from Tokyo.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the tips right now, if you have to fly like your son had to, you know, make sure that when you get on the plane, you go as far, just switch seats. Right now, the planes are going out. Some of them are going out in single digits.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some stories about three or six people flying LA, New York, you know, sometimes turn down that upgrade, by the way, if you do get upgraded, because a lot of times the airlines are upgrading their own employees. And so first class could be pretty dense. So you know what? Refuse to upgrade if that's the case, and then move to the back of the plane and just go somewhere where there's no one else around you. And I used to do this before the whole coronavirus, even I'd much rather be in coach wide open with no one next to me than a packed first class if it's like domestic first class where you can't lie flat.
Henry said everybody was wearing masks. The flight attendants were wearing masks. He was wearing a mask too, of course. And in fact, he sent me a picture of him in the airport in Tokyo looking pretty svelte in his pretty fancy in his plaid mask. I don't know how effective that is, but at least it's better than nothing, and it probably reduces the amount you touch your face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And also, if you do have to fly this week or anytime soon, make sure you bring your food and snacks on shorter flights. Anything under 4 hours, the airlines are now stopping service. So there's going to be you can't even buy on board. There's no alcohol on shorter flights now, which I think is a great idea.
Yeah.
And,
you know, we're going to see some changes in habits. It might be in the long run something we want to keep.
Great.
That would be one of them.
I think for sure. I think, you know, I think handshakes might be out the window, which I think is a good idea.
I had heard there was talk about eliminating domestic travel, air travel in the U.S. What's the status of that?
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
If it does, they'll give you at least 72 hours notice.
Okay.
But I don't think it's going to happen. They possibly might do it to certain areas. Like right now to Hawaii, you don't want to go to Hawaii because it's a mandatory 14-day quarantine. Florida is requiring that from New York, Connecticut, in New Jersey, and the president's even talking about even having them on a full quarantine in that area. Because, but the problem is, everyone in the Northeast, the tri-state area where I grew up, have already fled, who have summer homes in other places. So that's, it's a little bit late for that part, but you know, you got to do your part. You got to stay home. It's a difficult time. And the biggest complaint I've been getting right now, and I've been getting tons of emails from people saying they don't want to go and they can't get their money back. The airlines will only give them a credit. So the trick around this, there's a couple tricks what you want to do. Don't cancel your flight right away. For example, I was supposed to be flying to Hawaii in 10 days. And I know I'm not going, but I didn't cancel my flight for a couple of reasons. One, I didn't want to call the airline because they're all really busy right now trying to get people home, like your son, who really need to get home. And two, the real reason why is because you want to wait and see if they cancel that flight, because chances are they will, and they'll wait to kind of like the last minute to do it. And actually, I just got a notice last night before I went to bed. I got an email from Hawaiian saying they just canceled my flight. So now I'm entitled to a full refund. If I canceled before that, I would have had to pay a change fee. I would have gotten a credit, but I still would have had to pay like a $200 per person change fee, which, you know, for four of us is not is expensive. And also the other trick, by the way, if these airlines like United, I have to throw United under the bus, even though they're one of my sponsors or were one of my sponsors
not
after
anymore.
This. Is that they are changing their rules. So before, if your flight was delayed by 2 hours or they canceled it, they'd give you a full refund. Well, now they're telling customers, first of all, that then they changed it to 25 hours. The flight had to be, if the flight was delayed 25 hours or more, then you could get a full refund. I mean, 25 hours is ridiculous, but they changed it to 6 hours now, which is still ridiculous. And they won't give you a refund. They'll just give you a credit for a year. And then after the year, if you didn't use it, then they'll give you a refund. But people need money right now. So the trick is, if you bought your ticket within the last 60 days, you call that credit card company up and dispute it and get your money back. So, and I think you had that issue last week. So I'm actually interested in hearing what happened.
I'm going to do that. We bought it through American Express. I don't anticipate any difficulty doing that. Because the airline, it's a flight in June. Of course, they haven't canceled it yet. They'll wait till the last minute to cancel it. But a flight to Budapest, Hungary, and then from Munich back home, I have a feeling is not going to be going off in late June. But who knows?
Probably not. But the key is you need to call within 60 days of purchasing it.
Right. We bought it.
Or the charge showing up on your statement.
Yeah, I'll call them.
So don't wait. Yeah. Don't wait much longer. I don't know when you bought it, but
good advice. And they're not going to. What do you tell the credit card company? I'm not going. I want my money back.
Yeah.
Okay.
But especially if they cancel the flight, then you are...
Well, then they should give it back to you.
Well, it's the law in the U.S. The DOT has laws. Actually, I just published a post. I just tweeted it. I'll put it in the chat room where it actually has a link to the DOT's rules, and you recite it. You can, you know, always be super nice when you're speaking to these agents on the phone.
It's not their fault. Yeah.
Right. It's not. And when I tweet like American Airlines, I fly American a lot and I like to rag on them. And I even, their Twitter team's amazing. I said, listen, when I rag on American, I'm not ragging on you guys because you guys are amazing. But their executives who make these policies drive me nuts. So,
and I'm a little sympathetic as a small business owner myself. Of course, it's a ripple effect down the line. And if you cancel, they have to pay. I mean, they're trying to hold on to as much money as they can so they can pay employees and they can survive. So I understand why they're reluctant and they want to give you a travel
credit. I understand
that,
but these airlines made $15 billion in ancillary fees last year.
I know.
And they should have been holding on to that money instead of buying, doing stock.
So should
stock
we all. Back. We should have been saving. Little did we know.
I mean, so and they just got a big bailout. So I'm not worried about these guys. I'm more worried about the people who spent their money and they now need money because they lost jobs. And the money to my website is just stopped. It just dried up.
I know.
Literally, I lost every sponsor.
I know.
And all my travel friends, they're done. Right now, they're done. And people need to hold on to their money. And it really irks me when airlines try to play these games.
We need it more than the airlines. You know, I had travel insurance on the cruise that I canceled. And I didn't feel like they were required to give it back. We had paid for travel insurance. But they didn't give it back. But they're going to give me a credit for a year. If I want to go on another trip, I can apply that insurance to that trip. So I think that's fair. I understand. Yeah. I mean, I don't expect everybody to give me my money back.
Agreed.
But you're right. I mean, I'll be glad to get that cruise money back. I'm not going on a cruise anytime soon. Would you, in, let's say, you know, in a year or so, there'll be a vaccine, there'll be herd immunity.
Right.
Would you go back on a cruise or a,
yes, without a doubt. But you could not pay me to get on a cruise right now, especially a medium or large ship anytime soon. Yeah. And actually, I tweeted this yesterday. I got so many nasty responses from people, but also got positive where they're like, I agree with you. Listen, I love cruising, but you could not pay me to get on one right now.
I just love traveling, and I'm not willing to give it up, but I also don't want to do it if it's unsafe. So I'm going to wait until it's, you know, there's an all clear, and not from the president, but from the CDC or the more likely the WHO, the World Health Organization. Once we get an all clear from WHO, then I'm going.
Yeah,
because I think traveling is a wonderful broadening experience. Because of my travels, I have a lot more understanding and sympathy for the troubles countries all around the world are having. And Henry, just back from Asia, he sure knows what's going on out there in a way that we here in our quarantined little cocoons may not. Johnny Jett, you're the best. JohnnyJett.com. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Take care of your family. I'm sorry about the hard times. We'll send you a check. Better times are coming. Thanks, Johnny. Take care. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Do we pay you for these appearances?
No.
Well, we're going to. I'm going to send you a check.
No, you don't need to, please. Unless you're making money off me, which I don't know how you're doing that. But if you do, you can send me a printer.
I'm not making any money off of you. I'll send you a printer. Well, no, I want to help you out a little bit.
Listen, honestly, it's fine. I'm more worried about my friends who've just lost a lot of jobs.
That's one of the things we're doing, you know, to the degree we're able to. We're tight, too. But to the degree we're able to, we're helping out. Lisa's hairdresser came over yesterday, wore a mask and everything. And we gave her a very big tip and things. Whenever we're trying to order takeout and tip heavily, when the Instacart kid came and delivered all of our groceries, I gave him a 20% tip to make sure
that's nice. You
know, he got a little extra because, well, it's tough. It's hard times right now. We got to all help each other out.
And they're supposedly going on strike next week. You heard that?
Yeah, I did hear that. And they should be given protective gear.
Agreed.
And if you use Instacart, God bless them because I don't want to go shopping. I'm giving them big tips because they're working hard and they're taking a chance on our behalf.
Right. I agreed 100%.
Yeah.
But by the way, let's hope this thing does blow over sooner than later, but I don't think that's going to happen. But airfares are crazy cheap. I mean, I could fly today.
They should
or
be
May.
Crazy cheap.
I could fly in May and even the end of May to LA, Miami, $20 each way on American.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't.
I know
do
you
it
want to see your dad, but I wouldn't do it. What? It seems crazy to even think
today
about it.
On a 777 and there'd be like seven people on the plane.
Well, they're $20. I don't even know why they're bothering. I mean, I guess because they have cargo. Why are they flying?
I think it doesn't make sense because a lot of these planes, I mean, American had
so
a
much
bunch of planes going to New York still. And I was like, why are you having so many flights? I understand the cargo, but, you know, just do a couple flights a day. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's my rant. I just want to make sure people are protected. They get their money back from the airlines and things like that.
Somebody in the chat room said, he called and they just said, call the airline.
He called
the credit card company. And they said, call the airline.
Okay. And did the airline cancel his flight?
I don't know.
And which credit card company was that?
He didn't say.
Because that's...
That's not good, is it?
No, but it should be your last resort. But the credit card company is if it's within 60 days.
And I'm going to insist on it. We'll see what happens.
Okay. You let me know.
I will. Because I want my money back. It's almost 10 grand. So it was four people, $1,800 each.
Yeah. So good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Take care.
Thank you, Johnny. You good luck, too. And I'm going to talk to Lisa. We're gonna remunerate you.
I appreciate it, but thank you.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888. Ask Leo. Back to the phones we go. I don't know where you, Lady Laura, that song is much older than you are. I don't know where you find these. I must have to dust them off after you pull them out of the record rack, right? Stan in Irvine, California. Hey, Stan, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Oh, thank you, Leo.
Thanks for calling.
Can you hear me okay?
I do.
Okay. I'm a longtime Norton antivirus user. As you know, the company was split up last year.
Right.
And now it's called Norton LifeLock. And most of the things in Norton LifeLock, I'd rather get individually. And also, is Windows Defender, so what do I use for antivirus? Windows Defender?
Great question. Yeah, so Norton, which is a venerable name in the PC industry. Remember the old Norton Utilities with good old Peter Norton on the cover with his arms folded and his big wide tie? That's how it all started. Sold to Symantec. Symantec, for a long time, put out Norton antivirus. Then they, I can't remember what happened, but they bought LifeLock. So I don't know if Norton is still a Symantec company or if they're on their own now.
No, Symantec was bought out by Broadcom.
That's right. It's so confusing. So, and then they bought LifeLock, which was a longtime sponsor of the show. I actually thought LifeLock did some pretty good stuff. Although these days, I think you can do much of it yourself. It's really down to whether you want to do it or whether you want somebody else to do it for you. Really, the main thing LifeLock offers these days is insurance and help if you get identity theft. I don't think you need Norton's antivirus tools because, and you asked the right question, if you're using Windows 10, Windows 10 comes with a completely competent antivirus, Windows Defender. Not only is it competent, I think it's better than any third-party antivirus because it's written by Microsoft, so it's better integrated into the operating system. They do something called sandboxing, which isolates the antivirus. One problem, Norton's had this, McAfee's had this problem. Recently, I think it was a Avast antivirus. They often have flaws in their own code that make you more vulnerable, not less. And the reason is an antivirus has to hook in deep to the operating system. So it has access to deep levels of the operating system. A normal program doesn't. And then if they're not properly written, they give a bad guy the same access. That's not good. So one of the reasons that Microsoft proactively does sandboxing on Defender is to prevent that, to keep Defender, even if it had a bug, from being able to influence the rest of the operating system. It's things like that. It's if you can, getting the antivirus from the operating system vendor is always going to be a better idea. They know the operating system better than anybody. So, and it's free. You got it. So you don't need it. So can't, you don't need the Norton anymore. LifeLock, it's up to you. Even if you know, nowadays you buy LifeLock, you get Norton. I wouldn't install it because you don't need it. But and if you wanted to, the LifeLock service, I think, still has some value to it. But you can go to, especially now, you can go to the credit reporting agencies and put a freeze on your credit that is actually better than anything LifeLock could do. They can't do that for you. And that prevents any kind of credit fraud. It's a little inconvenient. Right. You have to unfreeze it in order to get a credit card or buy a house or car. But I think that's the way to do it, personally.
Now, if I want to, can I get rid of the code that Norton?
Yeah. So this is it. Yeah. Do the uninstaller. They have an uninstaller. But at least with Norton, I can't say this. I'm not sure about the rest of it. But at least with Norton, because it's an antivirus, most antiviruses don't uninstall cleanly. Again, this comes down to the fact that they have to install deep within the system, right? They also, to be fair, they don't want it to be too easy for a bad guy to disable the antivirus, so they make it a little hard. So their uninstaller leaves bits and pieces around, but Norton and McAfee, and I would guess most other antiviruses, but certainly Norton, offer a free download from their site that does the rest of the removal for you.
So, it's
just go, you know, you can Google Norton uninstaller and get it from Norton, obviously, not from anywhere else. But it's at support.norton.com. It's called the Norton Remove and Reinstall Tool. And that will get rid of, don't do the reinstall part, but do the remove part. And that will get rid of all the little bits and pieces that actually are hard to get rid of.
Just, now, how about the Norton LifeLock?
I'm not sure. I haven't played with it since they merged with LifeLock. I suspect there's not a lot that LifeLock's installing. It's not an antivirus. You know, really, LifeLock's business is monitoring your credit. So I don't know what they install, but you could do the same Google LifeLock uninstall and see if Norton offers something like that. I'm not familiar with that. I think it's sufficient to use the Norton uninstaller. I think that's going to get rid of most of what you want to get rid of.
Okay.
And then just use, but first use the uninstaller in Windows, you know, go to programs and features, uninstall LifeLock, Norton, Defender, not Norton Defender, Norton Antivirus, Norton VPN, any Norton stuff you can see in there. Uninstall all that, then run the Norton Remove Tool after that.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Will this be on your
yes.
record?
Yes. It'll be at techguylabs.com because James is out there. Right, James? Yeah. My scribe is typing quickly. And then usually a few hours after the show, we put the audio and video of the show. So if the text is not complete there, you could just play back the audio and stop it, play it, and pause it and get everything that I said.
Because doing this uninstall, I'm worried about a hidden bomb or something.
Oh, I don't blame you. It's from the Norton website, support.norton.com. And it's called the Norton Remove and Reinstall Tool. Obviously, you only want the remove part. They actually have an uninstall, a program called Uninstall Norton Family from your device. And then if you install the secure VPN, you'll want to use that as well. These are harder to remove because they change settings on your browsers and things. And so you want to reverse all of those as best you can. This is why I don't like third-party antiviruses. They mess with your system something awful.
Yeah.
They really get in there, you know, and it's for your security, it's for your protection. But if you don't want it, good luck getting rid of it. Use those tools. That's the best way to do it. Line two, Marshall in San Diego. You play the mandolin, huh?
I do, Leo. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I do. I play the mandolin, and I've been lucky enough to play with the San Diego Mandolin Orchestra.
Oh, man. I'd love to hear them.
Pieces.
Yeah.
Wonderful. You can hear them on YouTube. I mean, we've
nice.
Done some things on YouTube.
Nice.
But here's our problem, of course. We can't get together to practice.
Right.
And we're missing it. So we wanted to try to do a virtual practice. We wanted to get online. You know, everybody from their own little...
Have you already tried this? Because I know where the problem lies. A little thing we call latency, which is basically delay. And, of course, in one thing in a conversation, you see it all the time on CNN, there'd be a pause in between the question and the answer. But that's what you don't want when you're playing music together. So you want a low latency conferencing system. For one thing, turn off video. That'll help. Every member has to have good bandwidth. And if they can, nothing else going on in the background. And really important, don't do it on Wi-Fi. They should be on a wired connection. Wi-Fi pauses in the middle, and that's a real problem. Let me look and see. Oh, this is great. The San Diego Mandolin Orchestra. I'm watching right now. Let me find some good tools for you when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Thank you, Leo.
Yeah, this is hard. In fact, you shouldn't use an Android device for this. You might have better results if you used FaceTime on iPhone. Linux and Android especially have issues with latency. So there's something in the Linux kernel that makes it very hard to do real-time music performance. But it is doable. I mean, there are people right now doing this in recording sessions even. So I know it's doable.
I saw a program called Jammer. It's J-A-M-M-R. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. And I do think this is designed for musicians. And that's a good thing because you this latency thing will kill you. So if I haven't used it, I don't know anybody who has, but they're specifically designed for playing music together online. And that's the key is no lag. Let me actually see what they say. They have a page how it works. I don't understand how they're doing it, but I know you know. In fact, this might be the tool I've heard of them using in recording studios, because I know you can do it.
I mean, this would be a godsend because the average age of the orchestra is probably 60-ish.
Yeah, they should stay home.
They should stay home. And even during flu season and stuff, it would be really great if we could come up with something online. Well, I appreciate it. I'll give it a try. If you come up with something, maybe
I will look. The key is latency. The key is latency. Okay. You want as little latency as you possibly can because for obvious reasons, you know, it's as if, you know, you can't have, You can't have one instrument a tenth of a second behind the other. You're not. It's just not going to be right.
Right.
So, and musicians are particularly sensitive to this. In later versions of Linux, they have created real-time systems designed to fix this. It was always a problem with the Linux kernel. They couldn't do low-latency music. But I think people are very aware of this now. This jammer looks great. Jeff, is there anything you use? We have a drummer in a studio engineer today, and he does a lot of streaming music. But I don't know if he does it with other people so much. But this jammer looks really good. Yeah.
Well, we'll certainly give it a try.
Let me know.
Zoom, and that it just didn't happen.
No, Zoom is notoriously latent.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It sure was.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Leo, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I love the show. I'm an avid listener.
Let me see. Sarah Jane in the UK has just joined the chat room. Thank you. I really appreciate it, Daniel. I'm not Daniel. Marshall.
Marshall.
Yeah, thank you. Sarah Jane, did you have an answer for our Marshall here? So our chatters are kind of like you. There's a little latency. She said she heard about somebody doing it the other day recording a choir. Oh, that's interesting. They sent everyone a metronome track, which they used to record to, and then they used the metronome to sync it up. That'd be fine for, not for rehearsal, but that'd be fine for recording. I'm very curious to see if this jammer works. It seems like they completely, reading the website, understand what the issue is, and they've addressed it. You know, it's right on the front page there. How do we get latency down? How do we get lag down? No lag? How? So that's going to be the key, obviously. And there's going to be some lag, but if you can get it down to a few milliseconds, it's not going to be a problem.
Yeah, that would be terrific.
Yeah.
It's great because we're just missing our practices and getting.
Oh, I bet. So, yeah, and you lose the social aspect of it, but right. You got to play together, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They say it's free to do the jamming, so I would at least try it, and then you could see if you want to spend any money on it. But at least you can try it for free.
Certainly will.
Hey, thank you, Marshall. Right, great to talk so to you. All right, take care.
Thank you, Leo. Stay right. Well. Stay safe.
You too. We need the mandolin.
Thank you.
And we're going to. Scooter X has found a article from Reverb Magazine on ways to collaborate music remotely. 11 tools, and I will put that in the show notes at techguylabs.com. This looks pretty good. This has a lot of collaborative stuff. This is actually a great article about the issues and so forth. I know you could do it because, yeah, then they mentioned Jammer. I know you can do it because I know there are studios who are recording albums this way, so I know it's possible.
Reverb.com. I've got it. I can see it there in the chat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got it. Okay. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, finding lost cats, and mandolin jamming online. 8888. Ask Leo the phone number, 888-827-5536. If you've got a question or an answer, answers are welcome too. 8888-ASK-LEO. Website techguylabs.com. That's free, no sign up. All the information from the show is there, including audio and video of the show after the fact. And our great chat room, 24/7, there for any purpose at all, keeping you company, talking about stuff, helping with tech. It's irc.twit.tv, a wonderful bunch. In there, and I've been checking in a lot lately. It's been nice to have them around. irc.twit.tv. I was talking, as you might remember, in the last segment to Marshall from San Diego. He's in the San Diego Mandolin Band. I love that. A bunch of mandolin players making beautiful music together, but they can't perform together or rehearse together anymore. So he's looking for an online way to rehearse together, and the problem, of course, is, and if you've used Zoom or Skype or any other technology for online conference calls or online meetings, you know what the problem is. It's called latency or lag. One person talks and then a second, a beat goes by and the next person talks. That lag is all right in a conversation, but it's death to music. You've got to be all in sync, right? He had seen a thing called Jammer, which was designed for musicians to play together. And that looked like it might be a good thing. JAMR.net, Jam Together Online. Then there's something chat room found called Jam Kazam. JAMKAZAM. Play music live and in sync with others from different locations, with rehearse without travel or space. Both Jammer and Jam Kazam have free trials. It looks like Jam Kazam involves some hardware. So that might be a non-starter. I don't know. But I think try the free online solution anyway. And we'll put an article also from Reverb Magazine on the show notes at techguylabs.com. But any suggestions you have, too. This has got to be something a number of musical groups, musicians, if they want to rehearse together, singers, they need some sort of solution for this, right? So let me know. 8888-ASK-LEO. Another one Scooter X says is mentioned Sofa Session, Sofa, S-O-F-A, session.com. He said, but the site's not responding right now. I imagine a lot of this stuff is a little slow to respond. Try and get the groceries delivered. Good luck. It's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. We're all at home and we're all trying to do the same thing at the same time, it looks like. Netflix, YouTube, Disney Plus, a lot of services have slowed down the video streaming. It's a particularly a problem in Europe for some reason, less so here, I guess. Nevertheless, YouTube went to a default low resolution video when you go to YouTube. I think you can still turn it up if you want to, but maybe if you don't need to, use the lower resolution so there's enough bandwidth for everybody. Enough bandwidth to go around. We all are in this together. We can all help each other. You know, in a way, as bad as this is, and as so many people and I have had friends now have passed away, and so many people have gotten sick, and of course, there's no silver lining to that at all. It's tragic and horrible. But I think we are all, I think maybe learning a little bit about what's important in life. And learning a little bit about hanging together and helping each other out. And I don't know if that's a terrible thing. There's, you know, everything that happens has some value of some kind. Still, let's all protect one another. What do you say? Help each other out here. That's what we're doing. Mike in Portland, Oregon. Hello, Mike. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Thank you, Leo. By the way, I like the way you opened the show after the break talking about smartphones, smart TV, smart computers. Well, you're helping us become smart users.
Smart users. I like it. I'll add that to the spiel. That's good.
Hey, so we're all stuck at home, unless, of course, you can't go to the gym unless you're a celebrity, I guess.
Oh, really? And celebrities are still going to the gym, are they?
Oh, they had a big article about two of them in the news today. And it's like they were telling everybody, hey, stay home. And then there's video of them at the gym together.
Oh, please.
By the way, I'm on speakerphone. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
Keep six feet away from it if you would. Thank you.
Our gym is closed.
Yes, as is ours.
Yeah, but they're sending us videos.
Oh, nice.
To work out.
Yeah.
Well, they come through our email.
Yeah.
We can only watch it on our email or our iPad. I've talked to my son-in-law, and he goes, oh, you can put it on your TV with screen mirroring or something like that?
That's right.
But I have zero idea how to do that. I have an iPhone 6S.
Okay.
We have a Samsung Smart TV. I've been trying to Google everything I can. Something said I should actually get a little Apple TV device.
The simplest way to do this is Apple TV. Whether you'll be able to get one, I don't know. Maybe you can. Apple seems to be doing their mail order. The Apple TV lets you use an Apple-only technology called AirPlay. And you can AirPlay anything on your phone, including your phone itself, any app on it or whatever, right to the TV, but it goes through the Apple TV. So I do that all the time. It's a great way to play back videos or whatever. It's not the only way, though. Apple also sells, and you can find in other places, an HDMI to Lightning adapter. So there is video coming out of the Lightning port on your iPhone 6S. That adapter you plug into the iPhone has a HDMI port, which you can then use an HDMI cable to connect to your TV. It'll have the same effect. In fact, it works even a little bit better, except that your iPhone has to be next to the TV, or at least within range of the cable. But that'll work as well.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay. I did use my USB port thing where I hooked in my phone, and on the back of the TV, it did have a UBS.
Yeah, no, that USB port for the TV is not for that.
Okay, I found that out.
You got to go in through the HDMI port. New, brand new Samsungs. In fact, brand new TVs from a number of manufacturers have Apple TV built in. But that's brand new. That's ones you bought in the last few months. So unless your Samsung is brand new, you won't be able to AirPlay it. If you had a Samsung phone, you can play using Samsung's own technology to that Samsung TV. An Apple TV is a good thing to have because, you know, if you're an Apple household and you ever buy music or videos or TV shows or movies on iTunes, the Apple TV is the only way to play that back on your computer. So, but admittedly, they're expensive. They're more than $100. But that's one way to do it. The other thing, once you have the Apple TV, you're going to find lots of apps for exercise. There's I used to do Pilates with Pilates Anytime subscription. There's subscriptions to all sorts of things. There's apps from there's fitness apps galore that will work you through a workout. And I actually and you might inquire because one of the things I used to see a personal trainer at the gym. Of course, he's out of work as the gym closed. One thing you might do if you have a trainer is see if they'll FaceTime. I've been FaceTiming with my Pilates instructor twice a week. Keeps them employed, so they're happy, and it gives me my workout still. So that's another way you can do it.
That's actually what our gym is doing.
I love that.
We have a personal trainer, and they set up a. They're going to set up personalized courses.
Sure, or they could even do their classes. They could have a Zumba class, right? And
yeah, oh yeah,
yeah.
Right now, my wife right now is in the other room doing some online classes.
See, I think this is really kind of. Again, I don't want to paint a rosy picture. This is a horror, but we are learning some interesting things that we can do, and I feel like we will keep with us. Once this is all over, this is not a bad thing to do. And it gives people a way to, you know, I told my Pilates instructor, if you posted on Facebook that you're willing to do FaceTime classes with people and she can get paid by Venmo, so she does, there's no money exchange. I mean, you'd be busy all day long if you wanted to be.
You know, when this is all over, we're all going to be really antisocial.
Well, no, you know, that's somebody, we were talking about that the other day. Will movie theaters go out of business or not? And Scott Wilkinson was of the opinion, and I agree with him, people will flock back. We will miss people so much that there will be more socializing, not less. But we will have some new skills so that we can use them to broaden the kinds of things we can do, including, by the way, online courses are fantastic. You can learn anything you want online for free. iTunes University or edx.org. There are many, many sites where they have free college-level classes in any subject you could think of. And so learning about that is not a bad thing.
You know, the one thing I was thinking of real quick, when this is all done and restaurants open, the person who is our waitress is going to have the biggest tip she's ever seen in her
you
life.
You bet. Yeah, I've been...
Got to treat them all good.
Got to tip them big. We need to all help each other out. Yep.
All right. Thanks for your help.
Hey, my pleasure. It's a great idea. Somebody in the chat room said that there are online kind of hundreds of free classes at fitnessblender.com. Thank you, Susie Q. Hundreds of free workout videos at fitnessblender.com. This is absolutely free. I think that's wonderful. There's no reason to get out of shape unless you want to. I notice we've been spending a lot more time on the couch eating bonbons, but that's up to you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888, ask Leo, the phone number. The GizWiz coming up from Gizneyland in about half an hour. But first, more of your calls. Daniel in Victorville, California. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Leo. Good afternoon. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, Daniel. What's up?
I've been listening for years and I'm learning a lot, but a lot of stuff is just over my head.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll try to explain it better. I apologize.
No, you do fine. Just to touch base with you real quick on what Mr. Jet said. Yeah, the airlines make tons of money. My daughter is a flight attendant out of LAX for American Airlines. So just to let you know on that.
Yeah, how's she doing? Is she working?
She's just nervous. She's working, but she's just nervous. You know, they're cutting her trips down a little bit, but she's nervous. You know, she sees less people on the flight. And, you know, she calls us and she talks to my wife and myself. And, yeah, you know, she's just a little nervous.
I don't
blame
her. She's protecting herself, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's what she's doing. And then now they're not serving, the snacks and so forth.
Right.
So they're trying to do what they could, but it's hard. You're in the tube, you know. It's just, you never know.
You're in a tube. Yeah, although, as she knows, the airlines do filter that air. They have HEPA filters. They replace the air, I think, every 3 cycles. So, I mean, they're doing their best to keep it clean and clean environment. I've never heard of anybody getting COVID on an airplane from anybody but somebody in the 3 rows around them. So if there's somebody in front who's sick, somebody in the back's not going to get sick. That doesn't make it easier for your daughter. She's going to have to talk to everybody, but... I'm sure she's doing everything she can to protect herself, and really, she's doing an important job. So thank her, because it is keeping we got to keep this flowing a little bit.
Right. I understand. But my question, Leo, is: I have an iPhone 7, and through the years, I've accumulated videos, birthday parties, my granddaughter, and so forth. And what I want to do is, when this is all over, I want to go to my local Costco. And I want to plug into the little machine there, and I want to put all my videos, because it's got a lot of storage on my phone. I'm taking up a lot of room. And what I want to do is put them on a disc. And how would I do when I plug into the machine at the photo mart area, and just to keep them vertical or horizontal, because how you have your phone and you're going up and down, and then flip it sideways, and I don't want to be that when I go to watch my disc on TV of my granddaughter's party.
In theory, the iPhone is storing information within the file on the orientation of the phone. It's got a accelerometer, and it knows if the phone is in landscape or portrait mode, and it is storing that information into the video. And I know that information is there, because if you display it on, for instance, Apple's own Photos app, it will do it properly. It'll keep it in the right orientation. I don't know, though, if Costco's smart enough. The software they're using has to check and then orient it properly. And I haven't done it at Costco. Maybe somebody who's listening has. I just don't know if it's smart enough to check that information in the file and then render it properly. It may just assume everything is widescreen and turn some of your images on the side. That wouldn't be very good, would it?
Right. That's what I don't want. So,
yeah.
How would I assure that? How can I?
I think you just try it. Maybe the best way to do it is just do a couple of samples. Do one upright and one sideways, and see if it's smart enough. It really comes down to the software that Costco's using to burn that DVD and whether it will look and say, because the information's there. It's in the file. It's just I don't know. I can't. Some apps, it's the case. Sometimes just don't look at it.
That's what I figured, too. I figured like 2 sideways, 2 long ways, because, as the music's going or the party's going or wherever, and at the barbecue's going, I'll flip it sideways to get a bit more angle, and then all of a sudden, so then I flip it back or go back or vice versa, and then I just want to be able to, when I watch it, you know what I'm saying.
No, I know, and I've had this problem, which is how I kind of know about it. They have a video transfer service. I'm looking on their website at Costco.com to see if they say anything about this. They don't. I would think if the software didn't used to do that, that they would have by now updated it, because everybody takes sideways video, right? Almost everybody's doing
I'm not the only one.
No, everybody is. All the kids do. They think it's nutty that we turn the phone on its side. So I would be shocked if they haven't. But I would try before you do a whole bunch of stuff, because you're right. You don't want to have to turn your head sideways when you're watching the TV. That's no good at all.
I need a V8.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, I appreciate your listening. Tell your daughter thank you for the work she's doing and to stay safe, okay?
Thank you, Leo. I appreciate that.
Sure, Daniel. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Yeah, I think that's the easiest way to do it. There are other services that will do it. And you can even do it yourself. It's about $40 to $60 to buy a DVD burner that you could plug into a computer. If you have a Macintosh, you could do that easily from Photos. Plug your phone into the Mac, copy the photos over, use Photos to burn a DVD, and then you could do it yourself. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, and do it right, by the way. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO, the phone number. Gizwiz, Dick DiBartolo coming up. But first, Beef Team. He's on the Beef Team at Purdue University, where he's in charge of meat. Hello, Beef Team.
Hey, actually, Leo, I'm the distance learning coordinator for my department.
Oh.
And I've been real popular.
I bet you have. So did Purdue have distance learning before COVID?
Mostly for extension.
Right.
And then we also have Purdue Global, which is our online division, for the last 2 or 3 years.
So you have been, and how long have you been doing this distance learning thing?
Yourself? 18 years.
Oh, so you're really an expert on it.
No. Well, I'm 50 miles away from my birthplace, so I guess I am.
I would imagine that one of the things people are asking you about is, because it's challenging. If you've never taught a class, speaking to a blank wall. See, I've done this for 40 years. I sit here talking to myself, and I've been doing it my whole life. So I'm well suited to this. But a teacher's used to having a class full of rapt and maybe not so rapt students. I would bet one of the biggest problems they face is that.
Right. And even bigger with our extension personnel, they go out and they talk to a group that was assembled for them. And now, you know, we put them in front of a green screen, and even with a teleprompter, my boss tells me, he says, man, this is, it, you know, I can't ad-lib anymore. I just can't.
Isn't that funny? But you want to ad-lib. You want to make it light and fun and enjoyable. I mean, I wouldn't want to ever do this show off a script. That wouldn't be any fun.
Well, he does better off the script.
Well, some people, that's another thing. Some people are better off of that, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's always good to talk to you, Beef Team.
You bet. The question I have for you today is, I'm kind of at the fork in the road. And
I hope that fork has a nice piece of prime steak on it.
If it didn't, I wouldn't be there. But about 14 months ago, I had about 10 or here at home. I had about 10 or 12 year old iMac, and I let it go and got a Mac Mini. Switched to a Mac Mini. Love it. It's great. But again, I've come to that fork in the road. I want to do a little more. Now, I can't figure, do I put RAM in the Mac Mini or do I add an external video card?
So what problem are you trying to solve?
Well,
Because that's two different things. More RAM is not the same as an external GPU. What's not working?
The big thing is it heats now. When I go to render and I'm working in Final Cut.
Oh.
Now the external temperature I've measured on the machine is about 115 or 120 Fahrenheit.
Oh, Fahrenheit. Well, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
You don't ever want to get a processor above 100 Celsius centigrade because that would be boiling. But it also, usually the thermal limit for most chips. If it's getting hot, it's not a RAM issue. It's definitely a GPU. And as you probably know, that Mac Mini does not have a discrete GPU. It has it's using the Intel GPU. You can buy... Right. Because it has a Thunderbolt port on it. It's a new Mac Mini, right?
Right.
You can buy external GPUs. Apple makes one from Black or sells one from Blackmagic. But I wouldn't necessarily get that. There are less expensive enclosures. Just remember, you're going to want to use a Radeon card because NVIDIA drivers for the Mac are not basically non-existent. And NVIDIA has announced they're not going to be doing them anymore.
Right.
So you're going to get a Radeon. And absolutely, that will take a lot of that heat out of that because especially rendering, it's using the GPU if you're using Final Cut or any of Apple's products. Mm-hmm. So having an external GPU will move a lot of heat out of the box. And you'll look, if you look at those external GPU boxes, these are boxes that are designed to give you, because you have a fast connection with Thunderbolt, designed to give you a graphics processor, much like you'd have on a gaming machine or a big tower case, but it's outside the case. And if you look at these boxes, they're always well ventilated. There's usually much more space than there would be inside, certainly inside a Mac Mini, but even inside a tower. So they're going to make, that's going to make a big, big difference. So, yeah, and they're not horribly expensive.
More pickup than going to the, you know, just adding the RAM, because
RAM is not the problem. Adding RAM is not going to make it cooler by any means, and if anything, it's going to make it hotter. Okay. So, if heat's the issue, don't put anything more inside the Mac Mini. It's a tight case to begin with. Offloading it by using the Thunderbolt 3 port and an external GPU will make a huge difference. Anything that uses Apple's own technology, Metal, or OpenCL or OpenGL, but mostly with Metal, will see a big difference. That's why I say the Apple. Do you use Final Cut?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, huge difference. Final Cut uses the GPU like crazy. So that will, bet you that'll solve the whole heating problem. Because, you know, your CPU is heating up right now because there is no GPU.
Fantastic. Hey, I appreciate it. And I want to let you know, we have our studio up and running, have been pretty much completed it for the last year and a half. We have a little sign there that says, TWiT-inspired studio.
Oh, that's so great. I really appreciate it.
Because we came out, we took a look at it, and we went back and got a hold of our architect people and said, scrap everything that we put. We want just an open architect. You know, of course, we visited you at the brick house.
Yeah, it was great meeting you.
And I said, we want just kind of an open architecture type of thing, and it's worked out beautifully.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear it. I'm looking at a review on 9to5 Mac of the Sonnet EGFX Breakaway Puck. It is a Radeon 560, and Apple just reduced the price by 25%, so it's $400. No, it's not $400. It's $300, including the GP, including the graphics card.
Wow.
That seems like that would be a very good idea. And if you look at it, it's got vents all around it. That thing is built to get hot. Four HDMI ports out.
That's Sonnet EGFX.
Yep. And Apple sells it in the Apple Store, so you can go to store.apple.com. It's the Breakaway Puck.
Fantastic. Wonderful.
Great to talk to you, Beef Team. What's your favorite? So much, what's the best steak? What should I get?
I like a New York strip.
Yeah, it's got more flavor, doesn't it? I've always been a ribeye guy because of the marbling, but
or a porterhouse because I get that in the filet at the same time.
You get the filet, you get the ribeye. And you also get a lot of meat, so you should have a porterhouse with a friend.
You bet. 22-ounce porterhouse.
Oh, man. You don't eat that all by yourself, do you?
Well,
sometimes.
I'll eat and get full and come back before I go to bed.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Makes great sandwiches the next day, too.
Absolutely.
Do you eat the filet first?
No, I usually eat the right-hand side first.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we have a great steakhouse in up the road a piece in Santa Rosa. And they when you order the porterhouse, the guy comes out with a carving board and a very sharp knife and cuts it up for you. And it's a nice presentation. Mm-hmm. It's just delicious. Beef Team, a pleasure talking to you. I had no idea. I didn't know you were doing distance learning for Purdue. That's great. That's really great.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Hey.
Take care.
Keep up the great work and stay healthy, please. Keeping those steaks, I don't know. I don't know. No, it's called, somebody said Cattleman's. Well, we have a Cattleman's, but no. It's funny. I drove by the Cattleman's yesterday, and they said, we have takeout or come get some raw meat. So they're selling the steaks out the back door of the restaurant up the road a piece. But no, we go up to Stark's in Santa Rosa. If you're ever in the Santa Rosa area. A great place to get a good steak. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We're going to get a great gizmo from the GizWiz next. Hello, Ricardo.
Hey, Leo. How are you doing?
I am great. I am very well.
Good.
How are you staying healthy and inside and all that?
Yeah, getting cabin fever.
It's hard. Do you go out? You don't go out to eat or anything?
No. Oh. Well, there's no place open.
Good. Good. Good.
Backyard.
The backyard. All our places here are doing takeout. So you can get them delivered or curbside pickup here. And I've been trying to do that because I read there's a good article on Serious Eats that says there's no evidence that COVID will survive on the food itself. No one's ever gotten it from eating. So what you do is you order the takeout, you plate everything, throw away the packaging, wash your hands thoroughly, and then the food itself is safe.
Oh, okay. You don't spray killer on it?
I wouldn't put any Purell on the food, no. Although use this fine lemon and coconut everyone hand sanitizer spray.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
It's good on everything.
Put that on Danish, yeah. When we go shopping, we shop at midnight.
Worries me. We got Instacart yesterday or Thursday. I felt bad for the guy. I gave him a big tip because, you know, he's got to be out there. But better him than me. He's a young guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got a ton of groceries. I think we'll be good for a few weeks.
Oh, great.
And I'm still ordering food on Amazon, too.
Oh, I ordered some stuff also from Walmart.
Right, right.
Yeah. No, at midnight, there was eight people in the store.
That's so amazing. Is it weird looking out at the street and there's just nothing going on?
Oh, yeah. The park is crowded. But last Saturday, I walked up to Broadway. That was the first time that it had really hit. And it was shocking. It was like a science fiction movie.
Yeah.
Broadway, Saturday at 1 o'clock. No one. No cars, trucks,
buses.
See,
I'd be walking like crazy. I love walking in New York. And if there's no one around, how cool. Oh, man, I'd be taking pictures like crazy.
Yeah. It's strange.
Yeah, it is strange. It'll be all right. You guys are going to be all right. You're going to make it. Because you know what? The thing that's really impressive, and it's worked here, social distancing works really well.
Yeah. No, I you're right.
If you look at the graph of infections in Sonoma County, it's now well below even normal levels, you know, during flu season. I mean, it's just nothing.
But it's easier for you than...
It's hard in New York.
In the city.
It's hard in New York.
Yeah.
Well, you can tell by the way he uses his gizmos. I don't know. I can't sustain it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Dick DiBartolo, Mads Maddestrider, and the Gizwiz. We're just looking. Dick is up in the Upper West Side of New York City, and we're just looking at the Times Square camera. No naked cowboy. No, desnudas, no Elmos. There's nobody. It's quiet.
It is really quiet. Yeah. It's amazing. When you think there are 8.5 million people in Manhattan and you can find 12,
they're all inside.
Yes, exactly.
But has it bothered you? I was talking to Mary Jo Foley, who lives in New York City. She says she can't sleep. It's too quiet at night.
No, it only bothers me seeing how desolate Broadway is. First of all, I feel so bad for performers and waiters and the store owners. You know, all the stores we buy.
Breaks my heart.
Yeah.
That's why I was telling you, do takeout from the restaurants you love.
Yeah.
I know you love the Swiss. What's the name of the Swiss restaurant?
Mont Blanc.
Mont Blanc.
Yeah.
I call them. I bet you they're offering takeout.
I have to find out, but they're a bit away from where I am.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you don't want to take that long walk. Well, anyway, I hope you stay safe and well.
Oh, I plan on it. I plan on it. So, Leo, I have a gadget. So I've started doing exercises since the gym is closed.
Right.
On YouTube, it's great because you can find exercises for people over 60, over 70, exercises that only involves sitting. And then I decided, you know, I'm going to add a touch of weight to these little exercises. And I remembered in the warehouse, see if you remember, 11 years ago, the forklift and knife.
The forklift and knife. No,
this doesn't ring a bell.
No.
Leo. They are.
They're barbell eating utensils.
They're barbell eating utensils. Yeah, exactly. So if you're cutting. If you're cutting, you were talking about steak earlier. If you're using these, the knife and fork, to cut a steak, you are wielding a little more than 3 pounds.
And they've got 3 pound dumbbells in the handle.
Well, they're a pound and a half each.
Plus
the weight of the utensil. I weighed them on the scale.
You'll be exhausted by the end of the meal. I'm so tired. I got to go to bed.
I was disappointed. The website is up, but the owner is trying to get somebody to invest in it because they want to start making them again. But I got some stuff out of the refrigerator, went to my scale. If you want to work out with 2 little water bottles, that's a touch more than a pound.
Oh, all right.
If you want to work out with 1/4 milk, that's a little over. 1/4 milk was 2 pounds.
I've been pumping.
Oh, you must
pumping
have
skim. I've got the gallon, the gallon skim. No, I have. We have weight. We have a gym at home, so we're well equipped to do this. You know, I've got a treadmill, one of those Peloton. By the way, I'm so glad I got the Peloton because I'm taking spin classes remotely. On the Peloton bike.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's great. I don't like people. As you know, I don't like people that much. So having a home gym is a real luxury. Yeah.
Yeah. Radio was invented for you,
it was made for me, baby. I close my eyes. I'm talking to myself. I love the guy's website for knife and forklift. Knifeandforklift.com. It's got a fatty in a recliner eating popcorn with a dumbbell fork and a football hat. but they're not making them, so you can't get them? Or?
No, that's why I'm saying that a good alternative. You know, the water, the 2 liter is 4.5 pounds, but a gallon of water is about 8 pounds.
Wow.
So if you get 2 gallons of water, that is a hefty workout and free. Well, not free. You drink the water first.
Don't drink it first.
Don't drink
it. Then it weighs nothing.
No.
That was my mistake. I keep drinking the water before I lift it. That's my mistake.
No, you drink it and then refill it with tap water, which won't be as pure and clean.
That's so funny.
New York City tap water. You fill a gallon jug with New York City tap water. It weighs about 12 pounds. Between the lead and the debris,
I was going to say, does it weigh more? No, that you're doing the city a disservice. New York City has the best tap water in the country, I think. It's very
incredibly
good.
Incredibly
from
clean.
The Schuylkill Water Reservoir up there in upper New York State. It's fabulous. Well, Dick DiBartolo, you have found a perfect gadget for these times. Dickie's website is gizwiz.biz. He's the gizwiz, the gizmo wizard, and gizwiz.biz is the place to go, not only for the products that Dick mentions on our show, but there's lots of other stuff there that you can enjoy. In fact, this is a great site for, you know, the times when you want to spend some time at home, gizwiz.biz. You can see the What the Heck Is It contest. Are you getting more entries? I would bet you would be because people are at home.
You know what? I don't think it has peaked that much.
Okay. So here's the deal. You've got to identify a close-up of a gizmo or gadget. There are 6 autographed Mad magazines for the right answer, 12 for the best wrong answers. Judges' decisions is final. All the rules are available. Gizwiz.biz. You have till the end of April to figure this out. He does a new gadget every couple of months. All the details at gizwiz.biz. While you're there, you can click the Gizwiz Visits the Tech Guy for all the products he's mentioned on our show. The Gizwiz products from World News Now on ABC does that regularly. Dick's blog and log. And don't forget Gizwiz Garbage, things you can wear. Mad Collectibles, including his fabulous book, Good Days and Mad, which is a memoir of the best days at Mad Magazine. Dick's been there for more than 5 decades, so he's got some stories to tell.
Yeah.
Really, really.
We're coming up to 2 decades soon, you and I.
God, that's hard to believe.
Yeah, well, we're in year 15.
That's really amazing. Do you sell this one? This is this a paper?
Yeah, I'll sell anything. Yeah, you want to buy the forklift?
The Mad Trade paperback. Here's Mad in Your Eye. Mad's maddest writer, Dick DiBartolo, presents. I love that. Yes. Are these all pieces you wrote?
Yeah, yes. Basically, I went through and I all my favorite things: the Poop Side Down adventure, the Towering Sterno,
Star Black, Lust Boat,
Condemner Reports.
Dickie D, somebody asked me a couple of days ago. My friend John Kalish is writing a profile of you, and he asked me for a quote.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God!
And I said, Dick's one heck of a weirdo, but I'm glad to know him. No, I didn't. I said some very nice things. It's really always an honor and a privilege to work with you.
Well,
thank you.
Gosh, thank you. You are a gentleman and a scholar.
Gizwiz.tv is his podcast. He does with Chad Johnson. And we'll see you next week for another great gizmo adventure with Dickie D.
I'll be here.
Thank you, Dick. I appreciate it. I'm also a big fan of you, Lady Laura spinning the discs. She does such a great job, our musical director. Kim Schaffer, risking her life and limb by coming into the studio and answering your calls. She's unbreakable. Thank you, Kim. And, of course, most of all, thanks to you. We couldn't do the show without you listening and calling, and I appreciate each and every one of you. I hope you are staying home, staying safe. I'm so glad you let me spend some time with you. I know it's a little different. Normally, we're in the car together, right? But I'm glad you were listening, and I hope you'll come back again next time. If you have any questions, just remember 8888-ASK-LEO, and our website is live all week long at techguylabs.com, plus our fabulous TWIT podcasts at twit.tv for the geek in all of us. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Have a great geek week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.